This week I was thinking about the shepherds and the story of Christmas. You know, there's oftentimes there's pieces of the Christmas story that we don't really think much about, but the reality is that there are pieces of the Christmas story that really should stick out to us, especially if we can understand the context. And one of the contextual pieces of this that can make sense to us is the fact that Jesus was known as a newborn king. A king being born, a baby king. And baby kings usually don't have access to the common people. In fact, most baby kings or princes, when they're first born, are separated from regular everyday people. Do you guys know the story of King Henry VIII? He's somewhat of a famous king in England, kind of not a good guy. You know, King Henry VIII, he wanted a baby boy so bad, he went through like three different wives to get to that baby boy. His first wife, Catherine of Aragon, he divorced her pretty much just because she couldn't give him a baby boy. And so he divorced her and went on to the next wife, which was Anne Boleyn. He had one daughter with her, which was Elizabeth I, who eventually became the Queen of England. But he had her executed, actually. Because I think there's a bunch of different reasons, but mainly because she couldn't give him a baby boy. And so he went on to the third wife, Jane Seymour. And Jane Seymour eventually was able to give birth to a baby boy called Edward. And very soon after the birth of Edward, I think it was something like 12 days later, Jane died due to complications of bleeding and different things due to the birth. And so King Edward, or King Henry VIII, went through three different wives, and there was this little baby boy without a mother. And King Henry VIII was so protective over Edward that he would only allow a few people close to Edward. In fact, only people who had the rank of knight and above were allowed to come up, and I guess they would kiss the hand of the baby, similar to kissing the hand of a king. And you had to be a knight or above, and he protected this little boy from any type of sickness or any type of people coming near to him. He had guards around him his entire life as a little child. And I'm just thinking about how different that is from the Christmas story. You know, when famous people have babies, we can't just have access to them. We can't just go visit them. When the king and queen of England or the prince and princess have babies, we are not able to just pop by the hospital, say hi, drop off some flowers, a gift, say hi to the baby and move on. We're just not allowed to do that. That's why the story of the shepherds is so different in this Christmas story. Shepherds are well known in this story. Oftentimes we think of just these nice guys wearing gowns and head coverings that they take care of nice woolly sheep. But in first century Palestine, Israel at that time, you know, shepherds were lower class people, right? They weren't upper class, they were poor, they were uneducated. In fact, shepherds were considered unclean from a religious standpoint, I mean. What I mean by unclean is that you couldn't be unclean and walk into the temple and participate in aspects of temple worship, the religious aspects of what they would do to worship God in the temple as a shepherd, mainly because, for one, they didn't wash properly. They're taking care of animals all day. And you'd have to go through rituals of washing and cleansing to be able to participate in the temple and synagogue. And so shepherds were considered unclean because they didn't wash properly. And then they would also protect their flock, and dangerous animals would come around and they would kill those dangerous animals. The fact that they would kill unclean, predatory animals also made them unclean. And so here are these people these shepherds that are uneducated, they're poor, and they're considered religiously unclean. And they're the first ones to come to the cradle. They're the first ones to greet Jesus in the manger. It's really interesting. It's really interesting how God brought these shepherds to be the first one to greet Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I was God that I would plan things out that way. You know, when you're having the birth of a king, the creator of the universe, who would you invite to like greet that the birth of that baby? You know, for us, we think of, you know, the top of society. We think of our presidents and prime ministers. You know, maybe it's the rich people in town. I don't know, but God brings shepherds first and foremost to the manger. Lowly, uneducated, poor, religiously unclean. And what sticks out is that Jesus doesn't avoid the rich, because there are wise men or magi that come to and visit Jesus as well, but that's actually way after the case. Sometimes people don't realize, you know, in the Christmas story, we play it out where the shepherds come and then the wise men come right after that, but most people don't realize the wise men actually weren't there the night of Jesus' birth. By the time they show up, Jesus is probably a toddler. They're like way after the fact. They were the rich. They were the educated, the magi. They had money. They had resources. They were foreigners from far away, but they had money and resources. But they're after the fact. That very first night, it's so cool, because Jesus brings in those that we wouldn't expect. He brings in the shepherds. That's who God sends to welcome this new baby born king. And he sends angels to them to let them know. The angels show up, and in our little play here, they're cute kids, not someone you'd be afraid of, but in the biblical story, they're scared. Which makes me wonder, what do these angels look like? I think some of the fear comes from the fact that, like, it's supernatural. Who in their mind is expecting that? What did they look like? They didn't look like regular, normal, everyday people, because they're scared. But I wonder if there's something else that's connected to the story of why they are scared. Maybe it's due to the fact of the way the angels look. Maybe it's due to their own situation. The angels are coming to them and saying, hey, there's this new baby born. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Sometimes our fears isn't about the fact of maybe the angels or what they're encountering, but the fears come from your own sense of inadequacy. Your own sense of inadequacy. Me? You're telling me? You want me to go and welcome this new baby boy that is born king? I don't know about you, but I would be scared of that alone. You know, if someone called me up and said, you know, the Queen of England wants to meet you. We're going to send a jet to fly you over. She has some questions for you. I would be so stressed out. But what's interesting in this story is that the angels tell the shepherds that this baby boy is going to be, you're going to find him in a manger. And I think part of the reason why they tell them, not just so that they know where to find this baby boy, what he's going to look like, but to let the shepherds know, it's okay, this baby boy isn't going to be in a throne, it's not going to be in a palace, but you're going to find this baby boy in a regular household like you. The type of place where you hang out. In a manger. And I kind of wonder if that's calmed a little bit of their fears, where they're going, okay, we're not going to King Herod's palace. We're not going somewhere where we know we're not going to fit in. We're not going to go somewhere where we're not going to be accepted, but we're going to go somewhere to a place where this king is, in the type of place that I would be, where I would be accepted. Why does God come to the shepherds first? Because this is what the shepherd of our souls does. The little baby that was born in a manger, put in an animal's trough, will one day become a man. And the people that he's attracted to, the people that he hangs out with, and the people that are attracted to him are the unclean, are the outcasts, are the sinners, are the poor, are the lower people of society. That is who Jesus spent time with. That is who the people were attracted to. And so when I know that about Jesus, it doesn't surprise me that it started out that way, right? This is who God is. This is who Jesus is. And this is who he spends time with. You know, history shows that after Jesus died and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, that his church grew and expanded, and people believed. They believed because of what they saw. They believed because of the eyewitness testimonies. They believed because of who Jesus was. And you know who those people were? The church grew. History shows us the church grew mainly with the poor, with women, and with slaves. Because 2,000 years ago, that was kind of the lower caste of society. It was the poor. It was the slave. And unfortunately, it was the woman. Women were considered less than. But Jesus raised them up, and they were attracted to Jesus, and the church was filled with these types of people. With the poor, with the slave, with the women. That's who made up the church. And it's almost hard for us to fully recognize it today because we're 2,000 years later and Christianity is the largest religion on the earth, and people who are rich and poor and middle class, wherever, we all follow Jesus. But isn't it miraculous that it all started with the poor, the uneducated, the unclean, those who weren't fully accepted in society? These are the type of people who are attracted to Jesus. And the religious leaders and the educated, they were offended by Jesus. And in Luke chapter 15, it says this, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They were disgusted by that. Jesus, who are you spending time with? Who are you hanging out with? They're going to make you dirty. They're going to make you unclean. Their sin's going to rub off on you. And so Jesus told them this parable saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the other 99 in the open pasture and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me. I found my sheep that was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance." That is my Jesus. And he tells a story about shepherds here again, right? Relating God to a shepherd. The lowly, the poor, the unclean. And people are so offended by who he spends time with and says, this is who God is. God is for you. God's for you. No matter who you are, no matter how dirty or unclean you feel, no matter how you feel like you don't fit into church. Maybe you come into a place like this and you just feel like, I don't fit in. God would feel sad about that because he would say to you, you fit in with me. You fit in with me. And there's so many people within our culture today in our city of Kamloops and with Canada that would say, like, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity or Jesus because of whatever, you know, ideas they have in their mind of what Christianity is about or what God is like or whatever it is. But the reality is that if they were introduced to this Jesus, I think maybe their mind would be changed. He came for everybody, but not everybody feels their need for Jesus. Not everybody feels their need. Some people look at Jesus, they're like, I'm good. I don't need you. I'm good on my own. For those that come to Jesus, they need to recognize who he is, but also recognize their need for him. We need to know the truth of our situation and the truth of who he is. You know, these shepherds, they would not have come on their own except angels coming and telling them about the birth of Jesus. They just wouldn't have known because Jesus was born in obscurity. There wasn't invitations sent out by Mary and Joseph to everybody. They didn't, you know, purchase any billboards or spots on the radio or TV or anything like that. People did not know. And so angels had to come and tell them, hey, did you know this is happening over there? You need to go and check it out. You know, it's not that far different today in the fact that Jesus is coming to a place within our culture and society of obscurity. A lot of people they don't know. They don't know Jesus. They're not really fully aware of who he is and what he came to do. And you know, Jesus changed things. God's not sending angels anymore very often. But he sends us. He sends people. He sends us to say, hey, there are people over there that need to be welcomed. Need to be brought and say, hey, you are welcome. Come. Come and check out this Jesus. And it doesn't mean that you need to talk them into it. It just means that they need to be welcomed. Come and see this baby that was born. You know, many of you know that, you know, years ago, Catherine and I, we lived in the Middle East, and many people in the Middle East that we lived in, they didn't know the story. We'd put on Christmas parties and friends would come over and people that we worked with and people that we did language learning with, and they didn't know the story. And so we would tell them the story and they'd be like, man, we've never heard that before. Some of them would say, that story is spectacular. It's almost hard to believe. Some would come over and they'd see the little nativity and they'd be like, hey, that's about Christmas, isn't it? Why don't you tell us a story? It was very different than here in Canada. But you know what? Canada actually is coming to a place where we're getting to that place too. Where a lot of people just don't know. We have a daycare downstairs. And if you don't know, there's kids running around here Monday to Friday. And every year I tell them the Christmas story. There's 3, 4, 5-year-olds. And they gather around and I have these little Jesus and shepherds and wise men figurines. And I tell them a story of Christmas, and guaranteed almost none of the kids have ever heard the story. I said, hey, what's Christmas about? And they tell me about Santa and the Grinch and presents and cookies and stuff like that, which is a ton of fun. But then I tell them, you know that Jesus' birthday is on Christmas and that's what we celebrate? And they just don't know. And that's where we are at. And so we welcome, we invite people, we say, come around and see who this Jesus is. You know that according to Jewish history, that it was the shepherds of Bethlehem, there was a group of shepherds in Bethlehem that actually provided the special sheep that would be used for sacrifice in the temple. They wouldn't and this was specifically for Passover, they wouldn't necessarily accept sheep from everywhere around Jerusalem or around Judea or Israel, but they had to be special, spotless, perfect little sheep. And it was from Bethlehem that they grabbed them from. And when these baby little sheep were born, they'd wrap them in cloths and they'd protect them. And they'd bring them to the temple to be sacrificed at Passover. It's no coincidence that Jesus was also born in Bethlehem. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was born in Bethlehem and ended up in Jerusalem dying for our sins because God loves us so much. Won't you stand with me? Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we wouldn't just be amazed by the Christmas story, but Lord, I pray that it would go down into our hearts, would impact us, that we would recognize, Lord, that you are inviting us, all of us, no matter our background, no matter where we've come from, you're inviting us around that manger to visit the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just to pay homage to you, but to come and to know you, to have a relationship with you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would know in our hearts that you have welcomed us into relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people like those shepherds that go around afterwards and say, come and see. Let me tell you about what I've seen. Let me invite you to visit and to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe that came to earth like one of us. God, I pray, oh Lord, that we would welcome you into our lives, that we would accept your sacrifice on the cross for us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, you came to purify us. I'm aware that maybe there are some people here today that don't feel very clean or pure or maybe invited by you. And I pray, oh God, that you would speak into their heart and know that as they come to you and believe in you, you make them clean. You make them whole. And you accept them into your family and into your kingdom. May we know that today. May we live that out today. In Jesus' name, amen.